Hey, America.
Start listening now. All right. So in preparation for the live stream of the Melfest after party that we'll be doing on Saturday, I'd like to brag and say that I've been brushing up on my Swedish.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
Yeah. I'm getting the basics down. One of the things that I love the most is that they don't say, I love you. Not exactly in Swedish. Instead, they say, snälla du gillo prenumerera på denna podcast, which means, please like and subscribe to our podcast. And I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
Speaking of beautiful things, here's the music. And welcome to another shameless episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. Featuring Flo Rida. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Welcome, everybody.
I'm so glad that we get to send our representatives to Eurovision one way or another. And I guess that one way is Flo Rida.
I mean, the last time that we sent an American to help sing for San Marino, it didn't go well.
Sorry, oh, Jimmy man. Wilson. Spirit of the Night guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that really didn't go well.
No.
That was really, really bad. Well, speaking of things that are really bad, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wait, you should talk. You're the one who basically runs our Twitter account, Eric.
That's true. Disclaimer, the socials are actually good.
They are. Yeah. And you can follow them on either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can contact us directly via email at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Our website is 12pointsfromamerica.com. Or we also do have a YouTube page as well. Just scope out 12 Points from America. I'm sure you'll find us. Look at our social media. You will find our link to our upcoming live post-Melfest after party. You will be inundated, I say, with links to this. So please join us. It's fun.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have so guests. Excited. We're going to chat with the fans and answer all of your burning questions. We have one burning question this week, and we're going to make it quick because we have about 36 songs to talk about, I think. But before we do that, we didn't do a burning question last week, so we thought we would do one this time, just so we've got, you know, something. So with that in mind, here's the question. It's from me. I made it simple. There's some new Eurovision merch out as of about a week or so ago. You can get a face mask now. Makes sense. Since, you know, masks, good, all that. And, you know, there's the usual. There's scarves, there's shirts, and so on. But what I want to know, what would be your dream ESC merch item? Like, what's something that if you saw in the Eurovision store, you would be slamming on that buy button immediately that you would not be able to resist?
It's one of those music boxes where you open it up and it's Mons and Petra dancing to Love, Love, Peace.
Oh, kind of dancing around.
Yeah, like a little ballerina, except it's two of them. Yeah, it's
wow.
It's Mons right after he busts his shirt open. You know, that moment.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I know that moment. there's our weekly Mons shout out. Hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Mons. That's going to be tough to beat, but I want to know what else you guys have.
I don't, no matter what shoes I pack for Eurovision, my dogs are always barking at the end of a day at the press center. So I would love a pair of Eurovision extra squishy memory foam fuzzy slippers.
I thought you were going to say Crocs.
No, God, no. I have standards.
Euro Crocs?
Crocs, but it's with the O with the dash through it.
Crocs.
And the holes are the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an idea. I won't buy that, but I would buy the fuzzy slippers. Just, fair you know, enough. Kind of shuffle around the press center with my little fuzzy bunny slippers with Eurovision logos all over them.
Derek?
I think my favorite piece of Eurovision swag I've ever gotten was the Dawa Bob soccer scarf. And I still have it and I love it. And I think it just seems like something you could wear, really showcase the program. I don't know. I love it.
Gotcha. So Derek's going with one that exists. And that
a variation
has.
Of an existing product.
Gotcha. Okay. What I would love to see is some sort of set of collectible Eurovision trading cards.
Ooh.
I think that would be super fun. Like, team up with Panini. They're the guys that make, like, NBA cards. They're based in Italy. So make that happen, you know?
Uh-oh.
Eric, yeah, I'm about Sam to blow
no,
your,
no.
I'm about to blow your mind.
Do they exist?
The San Marinese delegation in 2011 actually hooked up with Panini and had little mini cards for the San Marinese delegation, like not just Sunit, because it was Sunit that year, but like for the head of press and like the head of you know, delegation and like the backing singers. They had little, like, I think they were stickers rather than full on cards. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
But they were like the kind of things that you would stick in a book. Panini is aware of Eurovision.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's try and make this happen. Let's get 12 points from America cards too.
Yeah, but can they be like Yu-Gi-Oh cards where like we all have unique abilities?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I'd rather have 12 points from America Funko Pops.
I cannot. Oh, yes. Let's do that as well.
12 points from America catheter.
Yeah, all of it.
What?
Bedpan. Everything.
I heard it, and I'm in for it.
I cannot believe. I wish this was a feature every week, and it practically is, where somebody says, wouldn't it be cool if Eurovision did something, and then Sam just perks up.
And then Sam's like well, if you recall.
Yeah, but... I can't believe that Panini is already entrenched, sort of.
They were 10 years ago for a single delegation, okay, but yeah.
Do you have
it's
any
like the Illuminati, Eric. They got their hands in everything.
Oh, that's fair.
I would have to check my, I mean, I just went through a move. My Eurovision memorabilia is kind of scattered all over the house right now, but I may have one or two kind of floating around in my bag somewhere down there, but I'd have to scope it out. Huh. I think there should be like the single super rare, like gold Jan Ullesand or Martin Osterdahl card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Numbered one of one signed on the card.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
All right. Cool. Great question, me. Thanks. Let's go into the news. We have we had 9 songs last week, and that seemed like a lot. I think we have more now. I think it's like a dozen.
Yeah.
Since we last recorded. My goodness.
Okay.
Today we got quite a few.
Yeah, where today do we got start? 4, right?
At least. Plus a leak.
We are recording this on Wednesday. Our usually recording day is Tuesday, but with all the ones that we're releasing today, we figured we had to delay for just a day just to cover all of them.
Right. I mean, we did that last time too, where we recorded on a Thursday night. And then, of course, Friday morning, we get the massive news that Armenia is officially withdrawing for this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
We haven't even covered that. So,
that's really depressing.
It is. They couldn't get the chains off of them.
So they put them on Ukusuviste instead. But we'll talk about that in a moment.
Oh, we sure will. Yes.
We sure will. But okay,
Let's start with another A. Armenia first. They're out of here.
We'll give them a tribute like we did Hungary and Montenegro.
Pour one out.
Let's move on to another A. Let's move on to Australia. Montaigne. Yeah. She's back.
We kind of alluded to the fact that Technicolor was on the verge of being released. It was like on an early morning radio show in Australia. So God only knows what time zone that was here in Minnesota. But we do have an official video now of her performing Technicolor at what seemed to be a large Mardi Gras event in Sydney. And the song itself is fine. It's super energetic, you know, very colorful as you expect. I am mostly just immensely, immensely envious and jealous that there was a big arena party going on somewhere in the world.
I know. Oceania really has it together. And so seeing the cricket grounds completely full, I was like, ugh.
Yeah. We can't have nice things, y'all.
We really can't. Really, they can. Speaking of nice things, I mean, Technicolor is not a bad song either. I like it a skosh more than, Don't Break Me? Was that it last year?
I think it's
I guess I'm not a fan of her style, but if you loved that song last year, I feel like you'll love Technicolor.
Oh, yeah, that sort of hyper pop. I mean, it sounds like what it is. It sounds Technicolor. It is, you know, super energetic. I know that some people were kind of not loving her vocals live, and they're a little bit concerned about that, especially for a first go round. But I think in studio, it's a fun little bop.
I mean, if she could pull it together live, that'd be great. I'm a little concerned that the official music video was the recording at Mardi Gras.
Agreed.
They had the capacity to put a video together, and I'm worried that they might be kind of short shrifting her a bit.
What did they do for Don't Break Me for the video?
Kind of the same thing, just that national final footage.
Yeah.
It was the national final footage, but it was like fully produced for television.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, the song is better than what I think a lot of people looking for previews are going to get, which is a bit of a shame. But there's time. There's certainly still time.
And I think Australia has kind of a record of when it comes to doing the staging and putting everything together, really making a great show. But, I mean, we'll see.
This one has the potential to be a polished, really fun entry, and it could have the potential of being an absolute hot mess. And we, I don't think we'll know until we see it on stage.
Well, I'm reassured. I think the thing that we were most harping on her last year was that her vocals had a little less control because her choreography was so vigorous. And I think from this footage, we can see that the choreography is a bit more restrained and precise. So I think I have a bit more faith in her ability to control her vocals.
But it needs
vocally,
to be...
this is very ambitious.
It's very, very ambitious, yeah. But it should also be noted that the version that was uploaded to the Eurovision account is an edited version. That the original live version of her at the cricket grounds was a lot more pitchy. And it was just because it was on a cricket pitch. But yeah, it was actually vocally pitchy.
That whole venue is pitchy.
It's a cricket pitch. I think that we can go off of last year. I mean, we never really did get a for real music video presentation, so I'm not holding my breath for this one.
Yeah, it's true. There was a lot of potential for what this could have been presented as, but we shall see.
We shall see. Yeah, mm-hmm. let's hold off until the semifinal, honestly.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, in which semifinal is Australia?
First half, semi one.
Oh, yep. Yeah, first half, semi one.
That's kind of rough.
Have fun, guys.
Well, Australia has a good track record in the past. So
perfect record, I believe. Not that it's a very long record, but they have never non-qualified, which is not to say that they can't or never will. I worry that this could be the one, but we'll see. Semi one is tough.
Yeah, we should see. Semi one is really context tough. Since we have all of these new songs. Let's keep moving along since we have such new stuff.
Yeah. All right. We talked about him before. San Marino.
Oh my God, you guys.
Sam Marino? No, Flo Rida. This is Adrenalina from Sunit. If I didn't already love Sunit for her song last year, now I feel like weirdly vindicated because this is like not even on a camp level a really good song.
It's solid. It is.
I really am impressed.
It is a genuinely good pop song, and not just it's good for San Marino. This would be amazing.
A jewel in the crown of any country submitting this, honestly.
Yeah, if it were the Cyprian entry, and if it were a Lenny Ferreira behind it, would the fandom be going nuts? Well, the fandom are already going nuts. Let's be honest. They skyrocketed to the top 10 in the betting odds pretty damn quickly.
And then Flo Rida is there for a rap bridge. We'd love to see it.
But that's going to bring up a whole bunch of questions. Is Flo Rida going to be showing up in Rotterdam? We don't know.
Honestly, he better.
If he doesn't.
I think he should. He absolutely should. I hope they are trying to figure that out. And like my biggest question
when it comes to this,
besides like how is this going to work in Rotterdam, is how did this happen? You know what I mean? Like
how Sunit, how San Marino, how Flo Rida? I don't know.
How familiar was Flo Rida with the most serene Republic of San Marino before, we'll say, 2 months ago or something like that?
Part of me is thinking, like, was he offered just like, okay, we've got this song that, you know, we can use a quick rap break on. We'll pay you some money for it. Here it is. Whatever. And he doesn't necessarily realize, oh, yes, this is going to be submitted for Eurovision. Did he realize?
Yeah. Well, yeah. How much?
Explain something to him. Maybe he didn't understand what he was getting involved in.
Yeah. But like, okay, what did he know about Eurovision before this? You know what I mean? Like, did Sunit just slide into his DMs and be like, hi, I'm from San Marino. Would you like to be on the Super Bowl of Music? I would love to know just the story of how this came together more than anything. But honestly, I think it would really be a great get for Sunit if he can come to Rotterdam, or if she's not in Rotterdam, they're doing the, you know, option B thing where she's performing from Valentina's backyard or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
That he
is there and that he's a part of it. Because I mean, what do you do if he's not there? You just have it play in the background?
In my head, there are a couple of different options. The fact that Sunit is the only credited artist in the EBU right now. Like it's listed on Wikipedia at least and on the Eurovision page as just Sunit, not Sunit featuring Flo Rida. Does that mean that Flo Rida is technically considered a backing vocalist, which means that he is not required to bring in live vocals?
That might have been a loophole they exploited.
Right.
Yeah, what's the history here, Sam? How often have we had a featuring blank artist credit in Eurovision?
It happens somewhat often, actually. You know, again with San Marino, I think of
the robot.
Yeah, Joust. that entry with Jenny B. Yeah, Joust and Alexander Wallman for Norway. By Alex for Hungary was also brought in a featured artist. Oh wait, no, that was a no. I'm sorry, that wasn't necessarily a featured artist. That was a mix. That was credited, but it doesn't happen super often. But I suppose it can. And this is the first time that we've had pre-recorded backing vocals, so it's kind of treading new ground. Mm-hmm. In that same vein, could they bring him on as a hologram? And if any delegation is going to do it, it would be the San Marinese.
Honestly, there are as many great possibilities as there are disastrous possibilities. Right. So
They could bring on another rapper as a backer. I mean,
yeah,
I know San Marino has at least one.
Oh man, it's she, Jenny B. So if they can't get Flo Rida like into Europe for one reason or another, and obviously there's a pandemic going on and everything, so that's a question with
Eric.
It as well.
It's the biggest shipping port in Europe. They'll smuggle him in a big metal box.
He's already on his way there. Mm. It takes 2 weeks.
What I was going to say is, I will accept a hologram. That's like, if that's what it ends up being, then cool. I will.
That could be cool,
hologram.
Honestly.
That's fine.
I fully expect them to just like have him on the screen in the back, like a video. Because he has the bridge. It's almost exactly 30 seconds long. And that's the only time he appears. So I expected that she kind of turns, and then on the LED background, he just sort of appears, sings his 30 seconds, and then just disappears, and then he's just gone. Would be the easiest way to do it.
Sure.
I'd imagine. Let's see what the EBU allows. Let's see what the delegation has up its sleeve. But the fact that we're having these conversations at all about San Marino,
I know,
is just amusing me.
Such a long way over these past 3 years.
Oh my God, yeah.
We love you, San Marino.
The Mets of Eurovision. I love them.
All right, so we go from Little San Marino to the nation that surrounds it entirely. Raise your hand if you actually slogged through all of San Remo.
Did you really?
I did.
Congrats.
My hand is sticking in a vent. I would rather smash my jaw in a drawer than sit through all of that.
I mean, I had it kind of on in the background while it was working, but I mean, you only really need to pay attention every couple of minutes, I guess.
I appreciate your sacrifice, though, Sam, because those 90,000 hours amounted to a song that is
amazing.
I'm going to say, like, this could be Italy's year.
I mean, I say it every year, but
yeah.
But no, Måneskin, Zitti e Buoni, yes. See.
So that's Manskin's Zitti e Buono.
Yeah. You know, I was curious. I learned a fun fact about this.
Yes.
Obviously, Måneskin, there's an A with a little circle over it, and that's not an Italian letter. And I thought, well, what's up with that? Why is that? And it turns out that their bassist, who is awesome, is Danish, or like part Danish. And when they came to the point where they had to name the band, they asked her to come up with some Danish words to potentially use as the band name. And one of the ones she came up with was Måneskin, which is Danish for moonshine. So if you were wondering, as I was, that is what the name means.
Yeah, I mean, like, moonshine as in, like, the light of the moon, or moonshine as in the potent alcoholic, potent potable?
Oh, pretty sure the booze, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I knew I liked these guys.
I mean, what do you think? This song is awesome.
It is authentic, badass rock. And it is just so good, and it makes me feel so happy. It's dirty and glam and sexy and all of those.
Glam so much, but I get like that same very like in your face is a little too glib to describe them, but I would liken them very much to like the White Stripes sound, like in the early to mid 2000s. That's the vibe I get from them, which is just all about like classic rock attitude. I suppose. I love it.
If you saw the outfits that they were wearing in the last day of the show.
I mean, that's true. Yes, it's like two rungs down from Marilyn Manson.
I was going to say like five rungs up from the darkness, but I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're both describing the same position.
A very, very good one.
Oh, yeah. So this really does feel like it could be it. I mean, people ask, you know, have we heard the song that will win? And we have the majority of the songs now. And there aren't a ton to this point where I feel like I really could see that being the winner. This is one of them, for sure. It just has this amazing energy. And after we got this taste of rock at Eurovision with Blind Channel from Finland, which we've talked about in yes, a number of ways. Time. Yeah. Getting this as a contrast to that makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if Blind Channel qualifies for the final, and I think it does a pretty good chance it will.
Hmm.
Imagine, if you will, Blind Channel goes kind of early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, sixth or seventh in the running order, something like that.
Second.
And then they have, yeah, second. And then you have Måneskin maybe five or six songs later, you know, have a little bit of a dip in terms of energy, and then have them come on a little bit afterwards and be like, this is what rock music at Eurovision is. Sky's the limit. That's my dream scenario for this.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of wanting it to really get there. Italy almost always goes towards the end, it seems like. So maybe... maybe you close the show with this, and maybe that's a good spot for it. Maybe you put it 23rd, 24th, where a lot of winners have been recently. They haven't done any sort of first half, second half draw yet.
No.
Big five?
No,
okay.
None of that yet. Gotcha. The only thing we know is that Jean-Luc McCroy, we know that he will be 23rd in the final.
Okay, so they can't have 23rd.
Fine. No. But 24th, I mean, having Jean-Luc and then Zita Buoni going back to back. That's a bit of a whiplash.
I'll show you some rhythm that's rebellion. Boom. Anyway, yeah. Love this. Derek, you've been really quiet and I'm concerned.
I don't like it.
Oh, no! It's always one. There's always one of us.
Let's move on to the next question.
I mean, you can elaborate if you want. I don't.
Sure. I think it's just okay. I think the music is fine. I think the singing is fine. I think the lyrics are kind of uninspired. It just feels like a generic rock song. And every time it comes on, I'm just like, all right, let's just move this along. What's the next song? I don't feel anything when I listen to it. And I'm not inspired to go and look at their other music and see what else they've done. I'm surprised you like it as much as you guys do, really. I was like, this is an okay song. What's next?
Just watch. Derek is going to be absolutely in love with Cuckoo's song.
With we'll Cuckoo's talk about song? It.
All right, let's actually stick with... we'll get to Cuckoo in a second, but let's... stick with the sort of rock genre sort of for a moment and talk about our pals in Portugal, our Portupals, where the Black Mamba's Love Is On My Side, a song we've discussed a time or two, ended up taking it. They won in a tie break. They were tied with, Sam, what were they tied with?
Carolina Deslandes with the song Por Um Triche.
That's right. Oh, which that's really good.
Ironically means by a whisker, which is about how much he lost by.
Oh, it's too bad. And the tiebreaker was the public vote. The Black Mamba did a little bit better in the public vote, so they prevailed there. This is the first song ever from Portugal that is entirely in English.
Yeah. They've had some bilingual songs in the past, but this is the first one where there is no Portuguese language heard anywhere.
That's really, I mean, it makes sense for Portugal. They're very Portuguese as a nation, obviously. but also
there are
just
really no other countries that are more Portuguese than Portugal, if you think about it.
Not really, no.
Angola.
No, not quite.
Okay.
But I mean, it's kind of a big deal for them. And I say that as if like, oh, it's so exciting they finally ditched Portuguese. That's not what I'm saying. Like, Portuguese is beautiful. The music they send is often very beautiful. And yeah, but the song they're sending, Love Is On My Side, is, I would argue, still a bit Portuguese in feel, in terms of the emotion, in terms of that little orchestral flourish at the beginning that really sounds right from the get-go. That's like, this is Portugal. This is
that Portuguese orchestral
sounds like.
It always gives me vibes of like, don't want to miss a thing. That's what it gives me the vibes of.
Oh.
I kind of don't like it, but also I've lived with it for what, a day or two, so
it really reminds me of a song that would play over a Pixar montage.
I personally like the song a lot, but I get a vibe, and I hope I'm not cursing the Black Mamba by saying this. I get a Make Makes vibe.
Yeah, very similar.
That sort of very heartfelt, solid, bluesy, male-focused ballad that I personally, it resonates with me. I like it a lot. I didn't have that in like my top category like you did immediately, Eric, but you know, I definitely like it. And as for the fact that it's not in Portuguese, I think the fact that the top two songs that the televote selected were the two songs that were in English. It was Love Is On My Side and Dancing in the Stars came in with the 10 and the 12 points respectively with the public televote. So considering that Portugal's national final doesn't have an international component and that it was really the people who kind of decided, if the people are okay with sending something in English, then who are we to quibble? So
that's a good point. I, as I have said, think this is outstanding. I think there's nothing quite like it in the contest. And I know the betting odds don't say this, and none of you are saying this. I think this has a shot to do very well.
It feels very old-fashioned.
It feels very 70s.
I think it has a lot of appeal in only that respect. It feels very simple. It feels incredibly escapist.
I like it. I just don't know if it's got the pull, that the call to action that people need to vote for it. And it's also Portugal, and they always tend to kind of underperform, with one notable exception, of course.
They do their own thing. They really do.
And I love them for it, but it doesn't always work.
This definitely feels like a song that I think a lot of people are going to say, oh, I like it, but I just don't feel the need to vote for it.
I feel it might be, if it makes it to the final, which is a big if, I don't know, Eric. I think it might get a 10 from one country, but it'll pick up ones and twos everywhere else.
If that. Again,
of course, I'm 2 months ahead of myself.
Again, the Makes were not, they didn't give a bad song. It was just that other songs caught attention more and caught votes more. Mm-hmm. And they ended up with Nul Point, just because if you're everybody's 11th favorite, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Well, I think, and again, subjective, whatever. I think this is better than I Am Yours. Yeah. I think the visual vibes of it are more striking. I think the vocals are a bit more memorable. I see what you're saying, for sure. It could just end up being lost in more memorable things like San Marino, like Italy. But I just think it's so good.
Keep in mind, at least they are in the second semifinal, which is not as much of a bloodbath as semi-one is going to be. So I haven't lost hope. With Portugal, I feel like it's always harder than it is for other countries.
I think this is one of their best entries since I've started following the contest. I think qualifying should be pretty realistic, but you never know. I think the song is absolutely good enough. I'll stick with that till I die. Anyway, Estonia. Oh boy. Here's another song. It's by Ukusufi. God.
I will say it is an improvement upon last year's. I think anyone can say that.
It absolutely is.
I wouldn't even call this a terrible song. What I would call it is the kind of song that I appreciate when I am in a convenience store and it's playing on the overhead. This feels like Train to me. And I know, I haven't been mean enough this episode, but I'm going to live with that assessment. Uku makes great overhead in a convenience store music.
But wait, like an American convenience store or like one of those really good Japanese convenience stores where they've got like the good rice balls and...
No, it's a Speedway.
Oh, okay.
It's a Speedway.
Okay.
Quick Trip if he's lucky.
You're going to mention a Japanese convenience store, you have to mention the egg salad sandwiches. But
I was about to say, now, Derek, were you, because you lived there in Japan for quite a long time, were you a Lawson, a Family Mart, or a 7-Eleven guy?
Oh, Family Mart.
Family Mart?
Easy. Yeah. Okay.
Which of those is most like Ukusufi Stay to you?
Lawson.
I mean, what is there to say about this song? This is, generic is an unkind word to use.
I think, again, this is another example of we've seen what he can do as a singer. He's obviously very, very talented.
Yes.
And this is just not a song that showcases that.
But what it does showcase at the very least were the chains that Athena Manoukian were not using from last year's performance.
Yeah.
That staging was just full of chains. Chains on chains on Uku.
Like a yard sale.
So many chains on Uku.
Estonio's really trying to sell it with the sex.
But yeah.
I still like it.
It's not bad. It's like,
it's not
like
bad, no.
Yeah, I'll listen to it. I'm just glad he finally found out what love is. And that now he's the lucky one.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Yeah. I also just want to give a quick point of note for the final three in Ace de Lisle this year. It was a three-way contest at the end of everything between Uku, Yuri Potsman, who had won Ace de Lisle in 2016, and Sissi, who is the daughter of Dave Benton, who won Eurovision for Estonia in 2001. So a bit of an interesting bit of Ace de Lisle royalty and children of royalty and that top three. So
quite too many. We could have been beautiful. Another nice ballad, didn't quite make that final cut. Apparently it was very close.
Yeah. Yeah. The top three between the jury and televote, they were all tied at 15 points, with Uku getting the maximum 12 from a televote, Sissi getting a maximum 12 from a jury vote, and Yuri with 7 and 8 points respectively from jury and televote. Koit Tome was just behind that at 14 points. He got 10 points from the televote and still didn't make it to the top three.
Is he going to be doing this for a while now? It seems like he's just hell-bent on being in Eurovision as much as possible.
Wouldn't you be?
Well, I mean...
twice was enough.
Well, considering he had his own song and he was also a backup singer for another one of the acts, you know, keep your hand in the pot. Also, major props to the Estonian televoting public who put Redel's Tartu with 7 points there.
Oh my God. That was a blast.
Yeah. No points from the jury. No points from the jury whatsoever. Seven points from the televote. So
good stuff.
Yeah. Estonian voting public, y'all got taste.
Can't wait to play that on Mankato Radio.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah. They're not going to know what hit them.
Nope.
Oh, and, man. Tartu.
Shall we roll on over to Denmark then?
Fine.
I think we just roll right over Denmark.
That's flat enough. You can probably do it pretty easily. Yeah, so Denmark also had their national final on the 6th after a 8 contestant final going into a 3 contestant super final. Unfortunately, my personal favorite, Stråle Her by Emil Nikkelin, was out of that first level. We end up with Fyr and Flomma with Öve os Pahinanden, or practice on each other.
Wait, what?
Yep. Yep.
Didn't know that.
Yep. Oh. Winning the super final. This is going to be the first Danish Eurovision song entirely in Danish since 1997.
Wow. That's crazy, because this is also the first song from 1980 to compete in the 2020s.
It's really groundbreaking.
Yeah. This was my reaction when I first listened to this song and watched the performance. Are they serious? And they are. And Denmark said, yes, we want it. Honestly, I can't fault them. This song is super fun. But if you had told me this competed in Eurovision in 1978, I would have accepted that. No question.
I'm still not sure if they're serious.
So wild. This is disco pop. Just forget about everything, do a line of coke, and get out there.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
Is there any reasoning why Danish Melody Grand Prix was so 80s influenced this year?
I feel like we saw that from a bunch of contests.
It's several, yes, but I feel like Denmark just embraced it wholesale. Like every single song was like, is it 1982?
Yeah.
That could just be what's popular and what's on the charts over there. Like I don't really keep tabs very much on the Danish pop charts, but you know, the Fyr and Flomme had, you know, a number of hits in Danish and what I'm assuming is probably a pretty similar style. So yeah, I guess that's just what they're into over there, those crazy Danes.
It kind of feels like a blend of like traditional Danish folk music and 80s synth kind of style. I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, I really don't either. And the thing that really gets me, and if you're a longtime listener to the show, you knew this complaint was coming. We found out around the time that this was getting ready to go that Ben and Tan, the winners from last year, who had previously said that they weren't going to be involved or whatever, they actually did record a song They actually released it the day before the national final, which I think is wonderfully spiteful.
Hmm.
And it's called Ironheart. It's really good. I mean, it's a Ben and Tan song. If you liked Yes, you'll like this one a lot. It's the same upbeat, happy of Monsters and Men sort of vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
They submitted it, and Denmark said no. Said no, said no, said no.
Denmark, I am very cross with you.
When you say Denmark, who do you mean?
Well, the yeah,
DR. DR.
Yeah.
The Danish broadcaster who is in charge of
the king of Denmark.
Songs.
Yes.
Do they have a queen?
The queen of Denmark.
There you go.
Okay.
Margrethe is a badass. Don't insult her majesty.
Fair enough. My apologies.
Do you think she watches?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. No, I just, it like, they released a statement just saying, well, we didn't want to give them an automatic pass. We wanted to judge everything, you know, on the same level, and then we picked the songs we thought were the best. And I can appreciate that, but I also saw the songs that they picked.
Yeah. You know?
And, like, I'm not crazy about the song that won. I agree with Sam that Stalier was awesome and really should have deserved better than it got. I would have loved to see that as the representative. You cannot tell me that they looked at the Ben and Tan song, especially considering it's largely about their experiences of the last year, and been like, nah, we can do better. Because I will say, this isn't a Eurovision song, obviously, and so we don't really need to talk about it, but there is one thing that kind of seems weird to me every time I listen to Ironheart. And again, you should check it out, especially if you like Yes, because it's great. It should have had a chance, whatever. But there's a line where Ben sings about, like, all the things he's learned since I was 17. Ben is 18. That's like saying, I have learned so much since last Thursday. You know, like, I don't know. That part's weird. But the song is great.
I think we've aged 20 years in the last year.
Yeah, let's
be real. I suppose.
So yeah, Denmark, do better.
Yeah.
Better luck next year.
Yeah, better luck. Yeah, better luck next year.
Yeah.
All right, on the topic of better, who saw this coming? Russia.
Yeah, sure. We had no idea what the heck Russia was going to be doing. At first, there was absolute radio silence from Russia. And then we get word that there's going to be some sort of a selection show that would have been happening on this past Monday. They didn't say who was in it. They didn't say if Little Big were involved. We didn't hear anything. No songs were released. No nothing. Little Big were dropping interesting hints and clues about songs that were coming out on their end. There was a weird thing on their Instagram where they had the little Men in Black flashy memory wiper thing. And then finally, we tune into the national final. Little Big basically says, here's our new song. We're not actually competing. We'll let somebody else have a chance. Whether that's the full truth or not, we don't know. Here are the three songs that are in the running. And we actually have a mini national final that was varied and somewhat innovative. And we ended up with a really genuinely cool and progressive winner. So I never thought I'd say this, but yay, Russia.
Yeah.
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 This song is really cool. The artist's name is Manesia. Not to be confused with Roxanne's song Amnesia, which is a song, not a person, just so we're clear. Manesia is a Russian singer of Tajik descent. Came to Russia as a like a refugee, essentially, from Tajikistan, right?
Yeah. At the age of like 3 or 4 to escape the escape conflict over there.
And yeah, the song is called Russian Woman. It is a song about Russian women. It's more complicated than that, obviously. There's more layers to it.
It's about feminine strength and resilience against judgment. It's also, you can also look at it in another way, not just Russian woman as, you know, the feminine side of things, but also what it means to be Russian as the ethnicity and the nationality. It's not necessarily in a political sense, but it talks about her sense of fitting in and belonging as a ethnic Tajik woman living in a Russian ethnic area, and the stuff that she's had to deal with being a minority, basically. And honestly, even after she was selected, some of the blowback that has been launched her way, she's been dealing with it, with a lot of slings and arrows of, oh, is she really Russian? Yeah, she is. So
that's gross.
Manisha, you are awesome. You are badass. We're thrilled to have you as part of the Eurovision family. Mm-hmm. And we're also very happy that you happened to win this on International Women's Day, which is fabulous.
That's right.
Yes.
She sure did.
She did.
Gosh, and it's just so cool to have Russia send something that isn't just painstakingly calculated and going for it. They're sending something that's just neat and fun. And it's probably going to do pretty well. Russia generally does well no matter what they do.
What if Manisha comes to Eurovision and she sings this entirely stuck inside a mountain?
Inside a mountain?
Yeah, like 2018.
That'll be a choice, I guess.
I think she'd be able to blast her way out of it with her own.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And then in like the last chorus, she just rocket ships Baikonur Cosmodromes out of it.
Well, now I want to see that for sure.
Hey, Russian delegation, for staging ideas, you can contact Danny.
Please contact Full Points for America. It's great. We're on Twitter.
Yeah. I also have to say, it wasn't a very long national final. It was pretty efficient, pretty quick. There was a newscast in the middle of it, and then they went back to the voting. It was pretty standard. There was, however, a guest that showed up. And I thought after last week, we had seen the last, but how stupid of I for me to even consider that we had seen the last of Philip freaking Kirkorov. He showed up with Natalia Gordienko, who's going to be singing for Moldova. They didn't let her speak. It was all him. He sang a version of his song from Eurovision, would have been 95, I want to say, which, might I add, is the second lowest performing Russian song at Eurovision history. He fails to mention that whenever he's on stage. He didn't let Natalia speak. She didn't perform. And that is an exceptionally bad look, especially on International Women's Day. I just have to get that off of my chest.
Yeah, happy International Women's Day, everyone.
Can we move on to the next country before I just like get ranty?
Yeah, it's Bulgaria.
Yay!
Well,
kinda.
Yeah, kinda. We love Bulgaria on the show, as you know. This was revealed just a few hours ago as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. Victoria revealed that she has chosen Growing Up is Getting Old as her song, one of the songs from the EP, a little dramatic. And this is a bit of a surprise to this crowd, I think, for as big of fans as we were of Ugly Cry in particular, that ended up not making the cut. But this is a very lovely song. If you like Tears Getting Sober, you're gonna like this. They're pretty similar.
I was gonna say it's very Victoria from last year.
She has a style. It's a very good style, but it's still very much in her vein, that sort of modern, introspective, Eilish-y vibe. So I was kind of surprised that they went with this one, but they said that it kind of got narrowed down to two after consulting with the panel of experts, with looking at all the comments that people had submitted through their online platform. And it was this one and another one that kind of rose to the top, which is, this is the one. So I think it was a really, really bright way that the Bulgarian national broadcaster kind of put this all together. You launch the artist, you launch her EP. She has a whole bunch of singles now in our consciousness. You have a system where fans can still be involved and feel included in the process, but BNT and Victoria still had control over which song she was eventually going to send. I thought it was a very, very intelligent way to do a non-national final that you're still involved in. It was a good balance.
And it was an incredible show.
Oh, yeah.
Start to finish. Everything they did, it just looked great. It was very simple, but it was well-produced. It sounded good. We got to hear all the songs again.
Sunit was in it briefly.
A bunch of artists called in and were like, hey, good luck. We love you. Like, what is happening?
It's really sweet.
It was.
They had they had other singers and other TV hosts from BNT kind of going in and giving words of support. It was a nice show. And it just highlighted how good of an artist she is. So yeah, Growing Up is Getting Old. Truer words rarely spoken.
Yeah. So that's in semi two.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, same as Portugal and Denmark, of the ones we've talked about.
E-E.
lot of Semi-2s came out in the last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the next three we're going to talk about are all in the same half of the same semis. First half, Ooh. Semi-2. And man, that is going to be... honestly, Semi-2 is going to be so wild.
I feel like there's always, so wild. There's generally, the solid semifinal where there are 15 songs vying for 10 places, some great songs are going to get left by the wayside. And then there's the other semifinal where all the crazy stuff tends to end up. And I can't tell which one I like more, the one with the quote unquote better songs or the one that's so unpredictable. They're both fun.
And you never know which is which until you see the live performances.
Oh yeah.
True.
Because what you hear in studio is nothing like what you're going to get on stage.
Absolutely. All right, so in that first half of Semifinal 2, just launched since our last episode, Loco Loco from Hurricane.
That's Hurricane.
Sending the same song again.
Yeah, that's Loco. They even kept the Spanish language, hook. What is there to say? If you liked Hasta La Vista, baby, you're going to love Loco Loco.
See?
It feels a little strange because after the pandemic and they canceled everything, they released a song that was sort of like a tribute to emergency services. And they had this music video with paramedics and stuff in it. And it was them walking through the streets, just singing. And it was kind of a more personal, understated song. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. They can do something different. And then they come back with this and it's just this is almost the exact same song.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised because a lot of the returning artists just went completely in the opposite direction.
Well, I feel like a lot of the returning artists, and we'll get to this when we get to Switzerland, are sending songs that are clearly by them. It's definitely them. But with a slightly different, a different song. There's a reason why I like the same artists, because they do the same thing, but keep innovating. Meanwhile, these last two, it's just but that's just the same song. That's just the exact same style.
I can't tell which one I'm more interested by. Sometimes we've gotten so attached to the songs and the artists from 2020 that it's sort of okay, they're kind of in their wheelhouse. You know that they're dependable with this. But then I also really, really respect when an artist completely changes tone. Like what we're going to see with our next singer here, which is Vincent Bueno from Austria, who released Amen today. And unlike Alive, which was this showy, Bruno Marsy, funky, danceable. This year, it's dark and sad and introspective and brokenhearted.
Oh, so guys, we're going to Austria now?
Yeah. What do you think about Amen?
I mean, it's heavy. It's really heavy. It's a lot to process. I don't hate the song. I don't think or anything like that. I don't think I love it either. I'm just not really sure yet. When we get to our previews, I guess I will probably have some more thoughts on it, but it really seems like a heavy song. I kind of can't believe this and Alive are by the same singer.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head is too. I can't fault the vocals. And I think the thing that I liked about Alive is his showmanship and his ability to sell a song. And I feel like if this were in a musical, this being the nadir of a character's arc, at the lowest point of a character's story, I could see him being that actor to kind of portray that. This wouldn't be the kind of song that I would put on and listen to, but it would certainly be one that I respected the craft of the song, of the singer and all that.
I'm actually kind of worried about this one. It feels very, very personal, and I don't know if it has a competitive edge. I feel like it might get a little bit lost.
Well, we will see. It is in that second semi, so it seems to be a little bit unpredictable where that one's going to go. So, if they sandwich Austria in between Natalia Gordienko's Sugar and Benny Cristo's Oh My God, because those are all first, then it's going to be absolutely swallowed up.
Mm.
But I don't know. We shall see. Oh man, there are a lot of bops in that first half, aren't there?
I feel like the bops are just going to eat themselves.
Bop cannibalism. Yeah,
there's not a lot of balladry this year.
Which we could talk about this more as the actual running order comes out, but it probably stands in pretty good stead for Ugo Sudiste, doesn't it?
Mm, that a ballot? Yeah, I guess.
Like Viktor Krohn benefited from
exactly.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah.
Estonia twice. Knows the story well.
Oh wait, no, he was Storm, right?
He was Storm.
That's right.
Storm he like was a this. Storm like this.
A song like this. Yeah.
Anyway, shall we move on to our next country then?
That's yes, another what pleasant is surprise. Yeah, Greece. This Ooh. Is Stefania.
Yeah, let's do it.
I really didn't even like Stefania last year. This year, I love her.
If we're talking about 80s-inspired songs like what we saw from the Danish national final, like Greece is just taking an absolute page from that book. And everything old is new again. And this is both 80s in terms of the musical style and, frankly, the video as well.
I just got to say, the music video for this song makes no sense. And it's amazing.
I feel like this music video was like directed by Salvador Dali. Like,
Fernando Lu with money.
Yeah. This is just like image after image after image. Like, sexy Atlas. And now we're flying on this, you know, it's a flying horse.
Pegasus?
Flying horse.
Yeah, there's a word for that.
Yeah. And then she's like flying into a cloud, but like the cloud is just vertical lines. Ugh.
After this entire city is flooded.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then she like somehow like the flood is gone after she starts dancing at the end because it's the last dance.
Because she touched a man's face.
That's right.
That's what had to be done.
She's of legal age, right?
Barely. Yeah.
Yes.
Stefania.
Looks like he's 25. I'm not sure.
She's 18. Okay. She's 18. So you can feel slightly less sketchy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's Greece too.
Yeah, it also seems a bit weird to me that the biggest 80s throwback we're getting like in the show is by someone who was born in 2002.
Oh, God.
Could she even say it? Like, this is the kind of music my parents listen to.
No. Oh, God.
No. No. Derek, no. As much as you're probably right, no. Oh, God. I think I was the only person on this show that was into Supergirl at the time. I still think it was a very fun song. I like the evolution here. I like that we went with something more mature and more fully fleshed out, even though the music video is a surrealist nightmare. The song is really good. I expect a decent result from this one.
Oh yeah.
The thing is, this song started and I was like, oh, this is just, you know, this is Stefania. I thought it was going to be, you know, we were just talking about where it's just going to be the artist doing the exact same style and the same type of song again. But oof, once we hit about 40 seconds in, I'm like, oh, pleasantly surprised. It's some bopitude.
Greek. It's Greek, so yes. It's Bopidopoulos.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm so sorry. That was terrible.
That was. The thing is, like, even if the song was exactly the same, is that necessarily going to matter for a lot of the people watching these shows? You know what I mean? Like people who tune in for the show themselves, they don't know which of these acts were 2020 acts, let alone what their song sounded like before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's easy for us to be like, okay, yeah, but this is the same song, but I'm not sure how much it matters.
Maybe like 5% of the final audience is going to have heard last year's songs to the extent that we would have.
Right. We are definitely a very slim percentage of the population. And we're not even the ones who can vote on this. So, you know, take it as you will.
Yeah. Our opinions don't matter at all. So with that in mind, let's discuss Switzerland. This one also came out today as of recording. It is called Tout l'univers, the whole universe.
All of it.
It is a John's Tears song.
That's John's Tears. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's John's Tears.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great. I'm glad that he decided when he was making the music video to be inspired by those weird Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercials. But I really liked
the movie Tree of Life.
Yeah, yeah. I loved his song last year. And I love this song. This is an example of he is sending the same style, but unnecessarily the same song. It's just like, you know, we're going to see some fantastic window-shattering falsetto. We're going to get some moody beats. It's John's Tears. He knows what works.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more polished than last year. I mean, I liked Répondez-moi a lot last year, but the presentation for this, it feels less like a student film and more like an actual comprehensive message and music video. I don't speak a ton of French. I need to look at the lyrics a little bit more closely, but I thought it was incredible to listen to, beautiful to look at, and it intrigues me, which is what I want in a song, especially in a song in a language that I don't speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's still in turbo turtleneck mode.
But oh, yeah.
Persona is still there, full tilt.
That's permanent, I think.
Yeah, that's attached to his skin at this point.
So his last song,
a young guy for such an early artist so early in his career, it feels like he really knows what he is and what he wants to do. He has such a strong sense of his own aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think really comes through in the music. I think this is a huge step up from last year. It's a lot more epic and sweeping.
I thought they were just about comparable. But then again, I loved. Oh my God, what was his song last year?
Répondez-moi.
Répondez-moi, yes. I loved Répondez-moi last year.
It won our internal voting by an enormous margin last year. So,
that's right.
Our math was also really weird.
From the four of us.
Yeah.
From the four of us, yeah. The public vote was not high on it.
I feel like this one last year was kind of a favorite to win. I think this one, just on its own, it's incredibly competitive. I think this fits into the contest really, really well. I don't know if it'll win. I mean, we can argue about which song is better, but this is like definite top five.
I mean, granted, the song is in French and he is a French speaker, but he's Swiss, so I'll count this anyway. The Italophone sphere this year of Italy, San Marino, and Switzerland have really brought it. They've really upped their game.
Oh, yeah.
And frankly, the Francosphere as well of France, also Switzerland, and Belgium also have brought it this year.
Belgium, another great example of a country that tried to do a contest song, scrapped it, and then just said, we're making a song that's for us.
Very true. It's always refreshing to see that.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, that also meant they scrapped their lead singer.
Circa 2002.
Oh. Okay.
Well, we only have one country to get to now who are among the new songs, and it's... I can't believe we waited to cover this one last. It's Belarus.
Okay. So
there's a conversation to be had here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is a song that I both really, really, really want to talk about and at the same time do not want to talk about at all. The song is called Na Ya Nauchu Tebya, or I'll Teach You, by the group Galasi Zmesta, or The Voice of the People. It could also be translated potentially as The Voice of Reason.
Yeah. Idiomatically.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the fact that it's bad.
Yeah.
Let's start with the fact that this is, like, speaking of outdated feels and, like, just, God, it's, like, schmaltz adjacent. I really do not care for this song.
Musically, yeah, on a pure musical level, I completely agree with you. It feels like something out of a bad TV theme song.
Oh, my God, yes, like, this would, a 30-second version of this plays at the beginning of Family Ties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you get into the other level of who this band is, yes, how they were selected, and what they appear to be standing for. And as we all know, Belarus, since the mid-90s, has been led by president for life, it seems, Lukashenko.
It's 1994. And,
yeah, 94. Basically, yeah, since their independence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is the only president the country's ever had.
Right. And over the past year, there have been significant uprisings, political protests, especially following a presidential election that was
heavily contested.
Contested and oppressed. And a lot of people were surprised to see Belarus even in the contest at all this year. So they seem to have selected a band that is not only themselves towing the national party line, but literally saying, in the lyrics of the song, you need to toe the party line as well. And that
typically will make you.
Yeah.
I mean, the title is basically a threat.
Yes. And that is diametrically opposed to the EBU's stance on being an apolitical
political content that can be shoved into a song.
And it's one thing to be kind of tongue-in-cheek and kind of cheeky about it, like Georgia was in 2009 with the song We Don't Want to Put In, P-U-T-I-N, which was, you know, a fun little disco number that was sort of a, you know, middle finger salute to, you know, President Putin. But
the genericized approach that sort of Madame Monsieur did in 2018?
Yep.
With Merci, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, and that was like a personal story, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It still had a political edge to it, but this
is a cultural edge.
Yeah, this is 20 steps farther.
We Don't Want to Put In was punching up. This is punching down.
Yeah.
And you lose satire and it becomes political. And a lot of our fellow Eurovision websites have taken the stance that they are going to significantly minimize coverage of this song and not cover it as in the same way that other songs are covered. We here at 12 Points are still figuring out our exact tack. We don't really do a lot of news per se, other than this song has been released or that song has been released. The song exists. At this point, the song is still in the contest. We don't know if that is going to be the case in the near future. We don't know if the EBU and other broadcasters are going to take a stand on this. We know that the Swedish broadcaster has already done so. There was originally supposed to be a Belarusian jury helping select the winner of Melody Festivalen. That Belarusian jury has since been yanked and replaced with the British jury. We don't know if anybody else is going to be doing anything. So I could talk about this for way too long, but guys, any comments here?
I don't think there's really a need to talk about it at all. I mean, it's not even a remarkable song. It's a
cartoonishly dumb song. Yeah.
It's awful. Like just from a musical perspective, it's one of the worst Eurovision songs in years. I don't have any problem making that strong of a statement about it. The only other thing I would add is I don't think this is going to get performed in Rotterdam or shown in Rotterdam. This almost feels to me like a calculated attempt to get kicked out.
Which they would probably weaponize. Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Like they put the EBU in a difficult situation. They let this go. They let this message be played to millions and millions of people, or they kick them out and they use that as a
propaganda.
You know what I'm saying. As propaganda or whatever. So a lot of people have said, kick this thing out. I largely agree with that. I think this has no place in the Eurovision Song Contest. Other people have said, let it compete, let it crash and burn, which it would, I would expect.
Yeah, that's how I think is going to happen. I think this is going to pass muster as far as EBU approval. And then I think it is going to not leave that semifinal at all.
We shall see. You folks at home, let us know what your thoughts are on this song. I definitely want to hear what other people think about this. Hit us up, 12 Points from 12 Points USA on Facebook and Twitter. This is definitely an interesting discussion to have, but we're coming to the end of our time here. Let's just do a quick span on what we've got coming up this weekend.
Oh, I'm actually excited.
Yeah, tomorrow, as we are recording this, we are going to get Embers, the song from the UK, and I'm actually excited about a UK release.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., we haven't really had Embers here since the mid-2000s, so I'm excited. That is such an Upper Midwest joke.
It is.
That is.
Yeah. If you don't know, there is a like C-tier sit-down breakfast restaurant called Embers that's basically gone. There is one in Minnesota still. It's up in Fridley. But I believe it's the last one. So, Danny, that's a stupid joke, and you should be ashamed.
It is. Anyway, I got my eyes on the UK because the UK is my pet. The UK is just like, I really want you to do good, please.
It's a pet that you love, but they won't stop piddling on the rug.
Basically. I know, exactly, yeah. Anyway, so we're going to get Embers, whatever song that is. We're going to get that tomorrow for us. By the time you're listening to it, it will already be.
Correct. On Friday, we expect to get Latvia's song Moon is Rising for Cementatina, as whatever the hell Poland is doing. We still don't know who or what is going on there.
Here's a 2.5-hour show while we quickly throw a song together.
Basically.
What Moldova did.
Yep. On Saturday, as we know, we've mentioned, Iceland will be revealing their song as well as the final of Melody Festivalen. And please, we would love to have you join us right after the end of Melfest. It's about 2200 hours CET, about 3 p.m. here in Minnesota. Join us on YouTube and we will discuss not just Melfest, but also all the other goodies that Eurovision brings. Beyond Saturday, we still don't know what Malta and Azerbaijan are up to. But those have to be in by, I believe, Monday or Tuesday morning. Those have to be submitted into the EBU real soon. So they gotta tell us something.
I have to wonder if Malta, because Malta is crazy about Eurovision.
Oh my God,
Malta,
yeah.
Malta is deciding that they're going to come in at the last moment because they know that they will be in a relatively small class in that respect. Whatever news cycle they're on. Malta is going to be at the top. Yeah.
And they know they have something big.
Yeah. Either that or they have two songs in the tin, maybe one upbeat, one more ballady. Just waiting to see what else is coming.
I mean, but they got Destiny. So
they got Destiny. That's all they need. Good. Yep. All right. And one last little bit of news. I know this is really throwing forward into the future. Sunday, November 28th, write this down in your calendars, your diaries, your schedules, as it were. We got Junior Eurovision's official date. Sunday, November 28th. Somewhere in France, probably Paris, but we don't know. And scope out your flights already.
I know I have.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yep. I'll try. Excited. If I'm allowed to leave the country, I definitely want in.
Whew. Awesome.
All right. I don't know about you guys. I need to make some dinner and guess.
Well, next week we have significantly fewer songs to talk about our first tastes of. But we'll be moving forward. I mean, Eurovision is really not far away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our official preview series starts next week. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have a similar format to last year. I think we're going to have five or six shows going over the songs and then some wrap-ups. We'll have our own little semifinal and final.
It's probably the only good reason why Armenia, the only good thing about Armenia being out is the fact that we now have only 40 countries, so it's a lot easier for us to do
a lovely round number.
Can split it up nice and easy. Yep. So thanks, I guess. But thanks so much for listening, everybody. I'm tired.
Again,
let's boogie.
Yep. 12 Points from America, Facebook and Twitter. See you on the YouTubes on Saturday. Feel free to
please.
Join us. We'd love to see you. Until then, folks, I have been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening.
Now.
We've got to stop listening now. The
Sorry,
voice
Derek,
that I'll be here. Doing for the Swedish Melody Fest after show live. I'm Danny, and this is my normal voice.